Working Cows Podcast, episode 216.
Welcome to the podcast that gives producers a platform to discuss and share paradigm-challenging practices. Practices that have increased the effectiveness of their operation and the joy that their families have received from this lifestyle.
Howdy, everybody. It's Clay Conry, host of the Working Cows podcast, powered by the Global Ag Network. Very excited to be joined once again by Elaine Fraze. Elaine is a farm family coach, a farm transition expert, and I'm very excited to have her joining us for the South Dakota Farm Bureau and Wyoming Farm Bureau Young Farmers and Ranchers Farm and Ranch Conference, January 21st and 22nd in Deadwood, South Dakota. We'll talk more about that with Elaine today, but for now, I do want to let you know that at the show notes page for today, workingcows.net/216, there will be a registration link available for you to go there and to sign up for the conference. You can get your tickets purchased now for the conference, January 21st and 22nd in Deadwood, South Dakota. It'll be a great time. In Deadwood, very much looking forward to it. On top of Elaine, we've also got Steve Kenyon coming to do a workshop. These are both going to be workshop-type formats where you have the opportunity to get some real practical, tangible take-home tools. And Elaine especially is going to lay out the framework for starting that succession discussion. So please, parents, bring your kids, bring your parents, and let's sit around a table and start these discussions. But for now, we're going to talk to Elaine about how do families get unstuck in their succession planning process. Elaine, thanks for joining me today on the Working Cows podcast.
Always a pleasure. Like to hear what your listeners hear because they get back to me.
Oh, good. Well, that's good to hear. It's important work you're doing. And I guess that's kind of where I'd like to start is how do you think that your history or the roles that you've had in life have uniquely equipped you for the work that you're doing?
Well, this podcast is called Working Cows, and that's part of my story. I grew up on a mixed farm near Winnipeg, Manitoba, the first farm east of Winnipeg, and I watched my dad pull calves and I chased cows, and then I became a home economist and was called to Boisvain, Manitoba, which is on mile 16, just 45 minutes south of Brandon and 16 miles north of the U.S. border, just to give your listeners some context of where our farm is. Then I was an extension home economist helping farm families with my flip chart in their kitchens talk about what they wanted their lives to look like, and then I married the local farmer. That was 40 years ago, and probably, Clay, for past 30 years plus, I've been working with facilitation of farm families around tough issues and spent 10 years as a farm debt mediator, not full-time, of course, but on a per diem basis with that, and for the last 17 years, I've been a certified coach and really helping farm families look at tools to talk about tough issues, to get unstuck, and to have the life they want on their farms and ranches.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, just like kind of the whole spectrum. I mean, from your early life through your professional career, and your role right now is private and independent. That's right. It's your own
right.
Business.
And so people can find me online at farmfamilycoach.com or my name, which is hard to spell, ElaineFraze.com. And I've written 5 books because I've also been blessed to be able to write for 26 years for a farm paper called Grain News. And so all of the stories I tell and what I've learned from coaching and speaking professionally across North America, Clay, is, you know, everybody wants to find harmony through understanding. And that's kind of sifted out in the last couple of years for me, is that's my superpower, is that I help farm families find understanding and get harmony in the process. And I think there's a lot of people listening to this podcast today who've come off a really tough year on the grain side, you know, lots of weather issues, and on the cattle side, the profitability, lack of feed, all kinds of things. And I often say this is not my first rodeo. I've gone through a lot of those hard times just like everyone else. And I'm now the mother to our 33-year-old son, who is our successor for our seed business. And we have a 5,000-acre family farm. My daughter-in-law lives 150 steps from my back door across the trees, and three beautiful grandchildren. So I'm kind of in the same journey as everyone listening to this. So I really want them to know I'm walking the talk, but I'm here to give them a sense of hope.
Very good. Well, appreciate that. And I guess to this show notes page for today will be workingcows.net/216, workingcows.net/216. And so you can go there and find links to Elaine's books and farmfamilycoach.com and those things. And I guess before we get into the conversation on how do families get unstuck, we started last time talking about getting started, and you laid out in that discussion that it's a multi-conversation process. It's not a one-and-done deal. So today we're going to talk about how do they get stuck and then how do they get unstuck. But I guess before we get there, I would like to just give you an opportunity. You're going to be with us for the Farm and Ranch Conference in Deadwood, South Dakota, January 21st and 22nd. You're going to be there on the 21st of January 2022. So I guess I'd just like to give you an opportunity to share what you're going to be there. It's a workshop format, so it'll be a longer format. And I guess the goals that we've talked about was that people would leave there with the tools they need to get the succession discussion started. So right. could you just tell me a little bit, give me a preview of that workshop?
So the first piece is getting people to the table, getting folks to the table to talk. So it's approach, converse, and gain perspective. And we'll talk about what the age and task needs are for each generation. And so I'm hoping in Deadwood that there's young ranchers and farmers coming with their parents and grandparents too, if they're still involved. It will be extremely safe and respectful, Clay, because I'm very transparent with my own situation, my own journey, but I expect engagement from the audience. So I will expect them to come prepared to text me questions that will remain private to them, but will be beneficial learning and engagement for the whole group. The other thing I'm going to get them to understand is what their key challenges are and to self-identify the places they are stuck, like whether it's fairness, finding fairness in farm transition. And we'll spend a big chunk on that. And we'll talk also about the basics of conflict resolution, because I've always said that procrastination and conflict avoidance is killing agriculture, really. And so my passion is to get people to come to learn how to give them language to share their intent. Why are you making this decision, Dad? Son or daughter, successor, why is this so important to you? Well, the fact is, we don't have enough money to live on and our income stream sucks. And so we'll be talking about income streams. We'll also be talking about where are you going to live, which on ranches is a really big issue because you can't, you know, it's hard, right? It's hard to get suitable housing for each age and stage. And then we'll also be talking about what you need to do to systematize or have more accountability. And that is the whole idea of focusing, deciding, and executing through having family meetings. So I'll be modeling with my flip chart and with my talking stick, I'll be modeling to the farmers and ranchers how to have better conversations. And so Clay, it's, I mean, I could speak for 8 hours and I have done that with Ranching for Profit. Well, it wasn't 8 hours, probably five. But, you know, I was in Wyoming a couple of years ago and I'm still getting calls from that conference because the way I work is you come to Deadwood, you give me your toughest issue and I'm going to unpack it in front of the other 200 people there and everybody's going to learn and everybody's going to go home with a map, a plan. Not about taxes, not about, you know, deferral of your 401ks or whatever. It's all going to be about how to get people to talk and feel safe and respected and how to figure out putting yourself in the other person's shoes to gain some perspective around why you want what you want. Mm. And it's, you know, people see this transition journey, Clay, as such a huge anxious project. And they get really overwhelmed. And folks have told me this because I used to use these clicker things and we'd have automatic polling systems flash up on the screen. And all the time for like 10 years, Elaine, we're too busy to plan. Really? No, you aren't. You're just avoiding it. Elaine, we're too overwhelmed. really? Well, here, I'm going to give you, first, you do this. First, you decide what you want. Secondly, you decide what your income streams need to be. Well, Elaine, we don't have a hot clue. It all goes through the ranch. Well, that stops now, because you have to figure out what your bottom line financial planning baseline is for income for each generation on the ranch or the farm. Anyway, you got me started, Clay. I can feel like I'm doing a workshop already.
I appreciate it. You know, a longtime friend and ask, actually somebody who sent in a voicemail question last time of the Working Cows podcast, Derek Schwanebeck, said that he said when we were there in Sheridan, he said, I missed that workshop. I was bummed that I missed it. But he said, You can tell that this is Elaine's passion and that this just oozes out of her, a desire to see families find understanding. So I think that this conference that we're putting on in Deadwood, partnering together with South Dakota and Wyoming Farm Bureau, Young Farmers and Ranchers, is worth getting on a plane from wherever you're at, Missouri, Florida, mm-hmm. Texas, New Mexico. It's worth getting on a plane to be there for this conference. First of all, it's $115. It's pennies on the dollar as far as an opportunity for people to come in and get this process started. And it's just an amazing thing. I mean, having Elaine there on Friday afternoon for a workshop, not just a keynote, but a workshop and opportunity to get those things in place. And then we follow that up the next morning talking to Steve Kenyon about soil health. And it's just really really excited about this conference. And I hope we have some people from outside of South Dakota and Wyoming that make the trip up to get things started.
Well, and even while listeners are here in the moment, Clay, they can go to farmfamilycoach.com and then go to my insights tab. I've just revamped my website and there's three key pieces there that are free for them to download now. So they could even get started now just by downloading under the insights tab under free stuff, the key challenge on it. Because please don't come to Deadwood unless you've done some thinking about what you want. Mm. Because I think we're going to get into the conversation about why families are stuck. And that's one of them, is they don't know what they want.
Yeah. Yeah. We definitely are going to get into that conversation. But I would just say that this will come out, Lord willing, November 22nd. So first of all, happy birthday to my wife today, November 22nd. But secondly, is that this will come out November 22nd, and I'm reasonably certain by that time that registration will be open, and there will be a link to that registration at workingcows.net/216. So make sure you check that out and take advantage of that. So now, on to this discussion of how do families get stuck and then how do they get unstuck. But first, tell me some of the common scenarios you see where they've gotten stuck or what has caused them to get stuck in this succession process. Yeah.
So I wrote an article last year called Assumption-Free Living. So one of them is assumptions, Clay, and guessing what the other people are thinking, feeling, needing, and wanting. So stop making assumptions. Find a way to come to the table to talk, to approach each other with respect and civility, and to converse and listen and gain perspective as to what the other person they're needing in the dynamic. So don't make assumptions. And I call it my three C's, which we probably reviewed in the last podcast, but it's crucial to my work. Clarity of expectations. So what do you expect your income to be? What do you expect your roles to be as you age on the ranch? What do you expect your housing to look like? And how do you want to be fair to your non-farm heirs? And then what's the timeline for this to happen? And, you know, a lot of ranchers, they know how to put a fence in, tighten the fence, fix the gates, bang, it's done, right? The reality of transition planning and moving things of ownership and management and labor to the next generation or sharing responsibility, it's a journey. It's never done. So I want you to get comfortable with that right now. This is not Roundup. It doesn't have a 10-day quick fix. So I really would like people to think about what their timelines are in terms of how they want things to unfold and what's a reasonable timeline. And then the other thing is, I don't care how many seminars you've come to, it doesn't matter if nothing happens when you get back to the ranch. And so I have this saying, talk does not cook rice. And as much as I love talking to you, Clay, and we could do podcasts till the cows come home, you're going to be upset too if your listeners listen to you for a year and a half and do absolutely nothing, right? And so we have to come with a commitment to action.
That's clarity and then commitment. What was there one in the middle? I missed
the middle one is certainty of agreements and timelines. So clarity of expectations. What's everybody thinking, feeling, needing, and wanting? And can they explain why? Because why is the intent? And, you know, anyone who's a fan of Simon Sinek, you know, Start With Why, I think is the name of his book. Mm-hmm. And then there's the whole piece around culture, which is how well are you behaving with each other? And if you're coming with a conflict filter slapped on your face, like, Elaine, you haven't seen my father, or Elaine, you haven't seen my mother, or Elaine, you haven't dealt with my grandfather. I said, yeah, actually, I have. There's nothing you could tell me that would surprise me. Because, again, this is not my first rodeo, but it's like conflict is not a bad thing. If it's managed and resolved, it's a beautiful thing, Claire, because then it gives you clarity about what everybody is intending and what the effect is on their life and what they desire, right?
Yeah, that's we'll get the scripture quotations rolling again. But how can two walk together unless they be agreed, right? I mean, that's
exactly.
And the
and
other
then the one that says, "Man will make many plans, but God directs his steps." Mm-hmm. But the other one I think that's applicable to what we're talking about right now too is, hope deferred makes the heart sick.
Yeah.
And so the problem with deferral and procrastination is people lose their sense of hope that things are ever going to change on this ranch. Mm. And I have a situation right now, actually, one of my neighbors listens to your podcasts and she loves it. And you know, her journey is very difficult because there's such a huge disconnect with her vision and the vision of her other family.
Mm. Yeah. Yeah. So assumptions are the first, are one of the hurdles, one of the roadblocks, one of the places people get stuck. Are there some other common ones?
Another one is lack of financial transparency. So the second or the founding generation is afraid of failure, is afraid of losing their life's work. And has this, what I would call a cockamamie kind of idea that if we share, you know, that things are tough really right now, that, you know, everybody's going to abandon ship, which when the reverse is true. So financial transparency of the bookkeeping and of the actual debt equity ratio of the business and how the cash flow is working, where the working capital is, all those good things that Dr. Cool talks about and Dick Whitman and all my financially based colleague friends who that's their specialty. And I came up against it again this morning as I was coaching where this rancher, you know, he has a plan for just giving things or rolling things over. But then the next generation says, no, no, no. We want to buy into buying you out because we want the financial security and equity and stability now. And then they also want the land under their house to be land that they own. Because guess what? They want to build a new house and they don't want to build a house on land that they don't own, which would be common sense, right? So I think the older generation has this fear of loss of wealth and the fear of failure, but they're not willing to relay that to the next generation. And the next generation is chomping at the bit to go and get serviceable debt that they can make things happen with.
Hmm. How much financial transparency is realistic? I mean, it's something that I think is new to agricultural families, to farm and ranch families. And I mean, that I see you're shaking your head. That's a problem. But how much is realistic? I mean, everything. We're in business together. We're in partnership. If we were in business outside of agriculture, we would, you know, these numbers would be known to everybody in the business. So
yeah,
that's the level.
Yeah, that I live by the creed, honesty is the best policy. And why, and then my other question, which is underlying what you're asking, Clay, is what does money mean to you? Because if money means power and control and financial, emotional blackmail, you've got more problems than just the fact that you're having a hard time paying your bills because you're using money as an emotional tool to abuse the rest of your family. So I think there's a lot of money scripts and ranting about, like, seriously, and I know I'll probably make some of your listeners quite upset, but we have two kinds of ranchers. We have ranchers who are ranching to make a profit, and we have ranchers who want to have the heritage of being a cowboy. Mm. And those can be two in the same, or those can be two different visions. and lifestyles. And the way I see it and have experienced with coaching ranching families from the U.S. is there are many young ranchers today who cannot afford debt because they haven't been paid a decent income in the first place. And so they're already in a backwards position or upside down because they have no money to service debt with, Clay. Now, that is a financial conversation, and it's not life-threatening to talk about money, because money is the energy and the resource that we need to build equity and to grow. And if you're not profitable on your ranch, what's your plan? Get more income? You send Susie to work, or Charlie becomes a ranch consultant? I don't know. Spend less. Well, Elaine, we've been living pretty frugal and pretty simple for the last 15 years. Yes, because not a lot of you listening to this have not made a great income since 2003, the year I graduated from Hudson Institute, right? And we all know what happened that year. So it's just like really, really unfortunate that you think that things have to stay the same, and they don't. So how can we increase income? How can we service debt? And yes, you might not like the fact that I have Amazon packages coming to my door. Here's another thing, because the next generation does online shopping or uses retail therapy to assuage the hurt, the fear, the frustration, the anger, what's not happening well on the ranch. Well, I think you might need to talk about that, because are you keeping track that it actually is costing you 80 grand a year to live on your ranch, but your income statement says that you're only actually taking in 40K? Well, where's that other 40K coming from?
Yeah.
It's basic, guys. And I, you know, you and I think I've talked about Dave Ramsey before and what he's done to help set families financially free, but I'm my degree is in home economics. So my first concern is always, what is the quality of life of the farm family? Yeah. And why does it suck? And if it's bad, why? It's because we're not getting the basics. And if you listen to podcasts, there's a great one by Farm Credit that was on two economists and a lender, and they were comparing the research of Illinois farms and South Dakota farms, what people need to live, basically, Clay, it's $70,000 US. And in Illinois, it can be like north of 120. And it just depends on the lifestyle or the, you know, how much is paid off, what the debt servicing looks like. There's all kinds of variables. But money is data. It's information to make good decisions. And you can't not share that data. It's like putting your right arm in a cast.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's so good. You immediately brought to mind Stan Parsons' book, If You Want to Be a Cowboy, Get a Job, and other insults about the way modern ranches are run. So he was the founder of...
I don't want to cause offense, because everybody has different reasons for why they do what they do. But when I have a young mom saying, Elaine, I can't go to the grocery store without crying because I never know if I'm going to have enough money to pay for diapers. And I've used other expressions, which I will not use anymore because I've been called on them. But there are a lot of young ranchers who are deferring income for the promise, Clay, of having ownership. And that promise, a conversation, is not a contract. And what happens if that young rancher gets injured or killed? And his spouse is left with two kids, and where is she at? Right? Or reverse. And I'm not saying that women aren't successors, because they certainly are as well.
Well, and I think that's part of what is so powerful about your presentation, is that you're modeling it, right? You're coming with a flip chart, you're coming with some of the tools, the talking stick, and you know, you're modeling it. And almost everything that you just shared with us in that answer to that question was a lack of communication, a lack of getting around the table and talking as though we were business partners, because we are, you know, and all these things are, we're having these issues because we're not running this as though it were a business, in the right, immortal words of Dave Pratt, you know. You know, we're not running this as though it were a business. We are ranching as a lifestyle, rather than this is a business and we are business partners, and business partners know where they stand financially and everybody's on the same page and we're communicating and we're making a plan. You know, back to your promotion of the conference, you don't have time. You make time for plenty of other things. You just don't want to do this because it's not fun or comfortable.
Well, and again, that's another mindset shift in agriculture, Clay. You know, we have a coach. He's come to us to our house with his giant post-it notes that he slapped on my kitchen wall. Our tax specialist and our accountant came to our house in the middle of July, sat on the couch, and we sat, the four of us, with them and said, okay, this is the plan for the next 2 years, and we have to wait 2 years for this to activate, and then we'll do the next thing, right? So where is it written that this has to be painful? It doesn't. And that's what I want people to understand is, do you know how life-giving it is to figure out, wow, I had no idea that's what you really wanted, or wow, Elaine, it feels so good to know that I'm not off track, that Dad is willing to let go of 500 cow, purebred cows and switch to commercial because the purebred herd's just becoming too unworkable now, or whatever, right? Like, it's that expectancy of going into the conversation. I have needs, you have needs, we'll listen to each other, and then we'll navigate something that's a win-win for everybody. Nobody wins and loses in this journey with me, Clay, because that's not workable. You want, it's Stephen Covey, right? You want it win-win for everyone. And the big rock here is communication.
Yeah. Well, and I have lived this, like, and this is a simple, small example, but I've lived it, because my dad and I would be working together, horseback, sorting out pairs, and we were sorting out these pairs of 9, 10, and 11-year-old cows, and they all looked exactly the same. And I knew that they were genetically superior animals because they were 9, 10, and 11 years old. They'd made it that long. They'd raised a calf every year. And every time we were sorting these pairs out, I would tell my dad, horseback, and you know the problem here, I would tell my dad, horseback, I want to buy those cows from you. I never brought it up over a meeting. There was never a meeting. I never even brought it up, let alone over the lunch table. I just would, when we were doing it horseback, I would bring it up. And then magically, right, not surprisingly to anybody who knew what was going on, those cows got sold, and it wasn't to me. And that wasn't my dad's fault. It was my fault for not saying, let's have a meeting. I want to propose to you a way that I can purchase those cows with heifer calves at their side because I want those genetics, you know.
Right. And the other thing you could have done, Clay, very simply, is in a Word document, sat down with your wife one night and pounded it out on the computer, printed it off, and delivered it to your father so that he could process it and think about it. And it's in writing with Clay Connery's name on the bottom. And again, that's another tool. It's the power of a letter. And we don't get, I mean, I get letters in the mail now and birthday cards, and I'm so happy because I love getting real mail, right? And people say, oh, Elaine, I used to think that was such a cheesy idea, until, of course, they actually did it. Because some people will say, being on this ranch is, Elaine, like being in a conversation that never ends. Because every time you sat on that horse beside your dad, you had the same conversation. But it never ended, Clay, because you never put it into a business plan. And business plan scares people. Business plan is what you envision for the business on a piece of paper written down so that everybody can process it.
Yeah, very good. Any other common roadblocks? I mean, I'm sure we could go on and on, but
the other really big one is why it's part of my new online course too, is conflict resolution 101. And I want to give you language like, where is it written so you can challenge thinking that is not aligned with your thinking? That was then, this is now. It's not 2003 anymore, folks. It's 2021. And Clay, we just bought a new tractor, and it arrived. It's in town, but because of the snowstorm here now, it's not quite yet at the farm. But, you know, I was talking to a dairy farmer yesterday about parts that he ordered in 2016. The exact same parts that he ordered 5 years later are double the price. Mm. So again, that was then and this is now. So the number, paying attention to the numbers has always been important, but now it's hypercritical, right? Because the margins are so little and the inflation about inputs on both sides of farming and ranching is just getting annoying, right? Mm. And so avoiding conflict or avoiding tough conversations is keeping you stuck because you have no forum to explain why something is so important to you. Why do you need a new tractor? Why do we need to buy more genetics? Why do we need to downsize the herd? Why do we need to rearrange our labor, right? All those things. And so I have a blog that I really would love everyone listening to this podcast to go to farmfamilycoach.com and sign up for my newsletter, which comes out twice a month, or my blog, same deal. But I've written many times about avoiding the conflict avoidance or stopping the conflict avoidance dance, because conflict brings clarity if you do it well. But I think last time you and I talked about anger, and anger comes from hurt, fear, and frustration. So you're frustrated that your dad sold the cows to somebody else and you're hurt by that, but you didn't give him a proposal. So he didn't give you first option to purchase, right? And now I'm working in scenarios too where brothers are not getting along. And why is that? Well, it's power and control issues, and it's fear. And it's trying to build the nest or the nest egg, whatever you want to call it, for their teenage boys versus their nephews, right? And so another place of being stuck is expecting the ranch to support more than 1.5 families. So the big question then becomes viability. How many families can this business really empower? And if you're the third kid and you came home late from college, where is it written that just because you share DNA in this family, you get to be part of this ranch? And people are going, oh, Elaine, that's heresy. Everybody has the right to ranch. Well, yes, with the skills they have, but maybe not in this family business because there's no room for you and there's no viability for you. And that's a heartbreaking conversation that parents don't want to have.
Yeah. Rather than,
reality.
No, rather than just adding one more person, we're now there's three families that are miserable rather than two families that are happy and maybe a third family that's happy somewhere else because they're in a thriving business.
And so part of coaching, Clay, is I have given, and I can see this young man because he and his wife read the book Necessary Endings by Dr. Henry Cloud, who's a wonderful Christian psychologist. And he said, Elaine, we read the book together in bed and we went, oh no, oh no. And I said, what are you ready for? He said, I'm ready to leave the ranch because I cannot envision my future working with my brother the way my brother's wired. And the dad was very wise. He gave this young man $1 million to start over in a different way because that was going to be part of the business shareholder agreement anyway. And that might sound like a humongous sum to some people listening to this, but you know, if you look at the net worth and the equity and how you can leverage that to give a leg up, where is it written that you have to work for your family? Where is that written?
Very good. Very good. I appreciate that very much. Can we move on to getting unstuck? We've talked about it a little bit, but it's very good.
Yeah. So I have to hold up my Beanie Baby Bowl talking stick, right?
Yep.
And on my website, the course that I have right now is called Getting Farm Transition Unstuck. And it's a pair of muck boots, which I think are a great metaphor, right? Nobody likes to have a booter and lose your boot in a foot of manure and other stuff.
We've all been there.
I remember what that was like. That was not fun. So getting unstuck. How badly do you want things to change, Clay? On a scale of 1 to 10, with 10 being, Elaine, I'm really ready. What's your number? And so I asked this rancher, and he said, well, I'm at about a 7. And, you know, I asked another farm guy, and his answer was 2. So his answer is 2. His wife is 7. That's a fairly big gap in readiness. So the first question I have about getting unstuck is how ready are you to do the work and have conversations where you're likely going to cry? And we should prepare the men in Deadwood to bring their best hankies with them too, Clay, because I have the gift of letting men cry because I get to the emotional stuff pretty quickly in terms of you know, what is it that you truly want? And why do you want this so badly? And can you explain to me what you're afraid of? And then they start talking, we say, Elaine, I don't want to lose this. I don't want to transfer this over and have this flipped. Who am I if I can't call myself the boss anymore? Well, I don't want to be a boss anyway. I want everybody to be a manager, because I strongly believe that you and your son and daughter can be co-managers. And your identity, I think you and I have also talked about this before, is not about what you do, right? But in ranching, those silver buckles and those big black Stetson are pretty important, okay? So getting unstuck requires that you're ready to do the work. And it also requires respectful, civil, organized conversations with agendas. So that's where the family meeting comes in. And then to get around that sense of overwhelm, I give people binder tabs, and anyone listening to this can just go to my contact form and say, Elaine, send me the binder tabs, and you can start getting yourself organized before January. But the binder tabs are things like meeting notes, coaching notes, the insurance, the legal, the financial, the loans and credit outstanding. And it's just a binder that chunks down all of the different pieces of a business that you have to take some control over, right? Or some risk management around. And what it does is it helps you see, have I got a will done? Yep, good. Is your power attorney good? Okay. Is my insurance up to date in all the different areas? Good. You know, are my loans in a good place? Or if they're not, when's my next appointment with the lender to get that rearranged or into a better place for cash flow? My accountant, I don't just want to use my accountant for year-end tax. How about using your accountant as a cash flow specialist? And if they don't have that capability, then maybe you better hire the ranching for profit consultant guys, right? To help you look at your numbers. So, and okay, we have found, my daughter-in-law, Elaine. What am I going to do with my daughter-in-law? Well, you can have a tab for her too. And it can be called family dynamics. What are you intentionally doing to make everyone in the family feel heard and respected? And does everybody have a voice at the table?
Yeah.
That's the glue that holds your family together.
Intentionality, I think, you know, is that word that you tagged there at the end that's so important in this, and kind of back to the beginning of that answer is, you know, if you always do what you've always done, you'll always get what you've always had, you know, and you've got to be willing to make a change in that discomfort is part of the human condition. For whatever reason, discomfort is usually the only thing that pushes us into change. And are you uncomfortable enough yet?
Right. And I think there's discomfort too, Clay, in the assumption that you're being pushed off the ranch. And I see this all the time where the founders feel like they're being pushed off. And the next generation is saying, no, no, no. I want mom and dad's wisdom and experience. And I definitely want their labor at the level of labor that they're still willing to contribute. But dad's tired and mom's given dad her best 42 years and she can't do this anymore. So again, it's people making assumptions that they're being bullied and shoved and pushed off, when actually the reverse is true. And what is truly desired is that collaborative decision-making. Because two heads are better than one, right?
Yeah.
Hopefully if the heads are healthy.
Compassion. You know, that word compassion literally means to suffer with. And I don't think you can have compassion without entering into the suffering or the shoes, at least the shoes of the other person, and saying, if I was my dad, why would this discussion threaten me? And then the other generation doing the same thing. If I was my son, what would I want to know? Or daughter.
Right. Do you remember, Clay, what it felt like when you got ownership of the ranch? Like your dad, right? Yeah. What did it feel like when you got to have some equity and some skin in the game? Don't forget what that felt like, because so in terms of conflict resolution, putting the ability to put yourself in the other person's shoes is a very strong positive behavior. So is the ability to express emotion and saying, oh my goodness, that makes me feel sick. And then you don't pretend she didn't say that. You say, tell me more. What do I need to understand? and you're open to having hard things being said, but you're not going to leave the conversation until you come to agreement on what the next steps need to be.
Yeah. No, I've talked about that a lot. My wife and I transitioned. My job pulled me out into very rural Western South Dakota. And part of that transition was purchasing a small operation, a small piece of land that we got to make the decisions on. And I think that's a powerful nugget there to not forget what that felt like. And it's easy to do. It's easy for me to even just 2 years into this, forget that, oh man, I remember those first few months when I was the only one, or my wife and I were the only ones responsible for the decisions getting made on this piece of land. And there was, I didn't have to run it by anybody. I got to make those decisions, and there's that weight of responsibility, but also that freedom of, yeah, I get to do this. So it's
good. And you hope and pray, Clay, that is also built on a solid foundation of trust. And so then there's the whole dynamic around the emotional factors affecting planning. And is trust being built, or is trust being eroded on your ranch? And what are you responsible for in that erosion?
What are some trust building exercises, activities, postures, mentalities?
I have an actual tool from David Irvine that's used by permission from him on good questions to build trust. And one of them is, I use with my daughter-in-law, is what would you like me to do differently? Mm. So you take responsibility and accountability for your behavior. And if you mess up, you fess up and make quick repair. Mm. And so if you've caused offense unintentionally or intentionally, either way, you make repair. And that also comes from John Gottman's work on 7 principles for making marriage work. So if there's no model of forgiveness, if conflict is never resolved, if there's no, cleaning the slate, you're in big trouble, because you've accepted bad behavior and you have not sought to pour into the other person honesty, integrity, trust, accountability, follow through, and making repair. Why do you treat your family so badly when you would never treat your friends the same way?
We talked about this as far as getting unstuck. How ready are you? What are you willing to do? Is there more to be said there? I mean, obviously there is, but... Or are there other tactics for getting unstuck?
Well, another thing to get unstuck is to get ready. So again, how ready are you to change and do the work? But secondly, what data can you already collect that is not emotional data? The amount of money you get paid is a thing. It's a check. It's a bank statement. It's a record, right? The number of cows you own is a record. The land you own is a record. The fact that the house that you own is rented to the corporation and you have no equity in your house is more data. So I would just get organized with all the data of your life. And there's another tool on my website under the Insights tab that's called the Because I Love You list, which is a way of organizing all of your household management life data so that if something happened to you, it could be passed to another person and they could kind of take over for you if they needed to. So I think, just organizing the data, but more importantly, Clay, I think you just need to sit down and create some kind of a vision statement or look at what you want. So another tool I have is called What I Want, because a lot of farmers, I ask them, well, what do you want? And my husband's pretty funny. He'll say a happy wife. I said, well, you've already got that. So what else do you want? Right. And I have a case right now of a family where the wife really wants a happy husband because he's not, but he hasn't also not got, he's not gone to a doctor. I suspect he's depressed. And people have all kinds of emotional stories that they tell themselves about mental health. And in agriculture, the other reason that people are stuck, Clay, is because they're not dealing with the funds being stolen. They're not dealing with alcoholism. They're not dealing with the anger and the rage. They're not dealing with all of the substance abuse or what I call bad behavior that needs to be healed and treated first before you can make rational decisions for a farm journey succession.
Very good. How bad do you want to change? You know, are you prepared? Do you know the numbers? Do you know what you need? You know, do you know what the financial realities of this operation are? Is it realistic for 2, 3, 4 families to be supported here? You know, I think those are great tools. And you've got some courses and stuff, it sounds like, on your website that people could use as tools to get prepared. Or...
Right. So the one that's activated right now is called Get Farm Transition Unstuck, and it's online. And the one I'm building is called the Family Harmony Map, because it's my life's work, Clay. And it will be an 8-module online course, which will be launched probably in the new year, which will also have supported coaching and my involvement at some point in that journey as well, because we don't go to very many live events anymore. And I'm building a team of 8 very energetic coaches who can work all over North America in English and in Spanish. And I want my work to be replicated, because this is my life's work. And I just, you know, I look at all these agriculture families that reach out to me, and typically they'll reach out, we'll do a discovery call, and then I don't hear from them. Because I think they realize that if they're going to work with me and my team, you're going to have to answer questions. And they're not talking about the weather.
Yeah. Very good. Well, I think I can't imagine that we haven't whetted some appetites to come join us in January in Deadwood, South Dakota. It's a great place to be. I guess I would like to leave it there. I really appreciate one of the things, and if you got a couple of minutes after the episode, I'd like to talk to you about your best continuing education resources. Every time you come on here, you're dropping books and resources and stuff like that. So, but I guess for now, the show notes page for today is workingcows.net/216. Go there, get connected with Elaine at farmfamilycoach.com and find all those resources that she's mentioned. And anything else on this? One last parting thought.
Everybody gets to choose, Clay. It's your farm, your ranch, it's your family. Mm. It's your choice. Just go out there and make good choices and really know that you're not alone. There's lots of places to have support. And now with the technology, you can be coached from anywhere in North America, and you can get good people to walk alongside you to give you the life you've always wanted on your ranch. So I just wish everybody to not just talk and cook rice, but to actually get her done.
Very good. Well, very much appreciate that. Great place to leave it. Thank you for your time today, Elaine.
You're welcome. Pleasure to be here.
As always, powerful stuff there with Elaine. Really appreciate her taking the time to join me once again on the podcast. And I would ask you to go find that registration link at workingcows.net/216 and get signed up for the Farm and Ranch Conference, January 21st and 22nd, 2022 in Deadwood, South Dakota. It's a destination location. The lodge at Deadwood's a great facility, one of the newer facilities in Deadwood, and just a real fun time with people who are like-minded. So make sure you are signed up and registered and ready to come and bring along those who should be involved in that succession discussion. Very good stuff. Looking forward to that. That next week, we've got a kind of a continuation of this succession discussion with Pete Farrell from 4L Grazing and the Farrell Ranch near Beaumont, Kansas, and some of the ways that they have structured their business to make it easier for that succession to take place, and really just actually separating that land business from the management business and having two separate entities there, and the way that that has happened and how it's made management easier. So look forward to that coming your way real soon with another episode of the Working Cows Podcast.
We invite you to visit workingcows.net to subscribe to the show via iTunes or Stitcher. You'll also find detailed show notes pages, resources from our guests, and the industry leaders who have influenced them. for more ideas on putting your cows to work for you in a more profitable way, tune in next week.
Working Cows Podcast, episode 200 something.